Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, we're back for season two of For the Record. So last season, we had 20 incredible guests on our show talking about how they are disrupting the aesthetic industry, being creative, innovative thinkers, and doing things a little bit differently. And so we're back for season two to start all over again with a whole new crop of 20 people to give us really the same information, a new perspective on aesthetics. And we have got the perfect guest to launch this season today. A dear friend of mine, a physician associate, a newly minted doctor of medical, I believe, services. She is a speaker across the country. She's one of the America's best injectors for, I don't know, multiple years, at least two. She's also part of Aesthetic Next faculty, owns a couple businesses, so two different medical clinics and a training facility. She is really everywhere right now, and she's also a big proponent of human capital, motivating your associates, your employees, the DISC assessment. She's a Ziegler certified trainer and speaker, so she kind of does everything, guys. She really wears all the hats. I think I do a lot, but I can tell you that Grace McLaurin does way more than I do, and she is here today with us to talk about really her entire journey in aesthetics, what she's doing now, the lessons that she's learned, the things that she's hopefully brought along with her in her many years in aesthetics. But Grace, welcome to our show and your 20-plus years in aesthetics. We can't wait to have you on today.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, sister, you do everything. I was looking at your little faculty bio on your training company site today. So you have two different medical clinics. So I'm going to make sure I get this right. You have Vitality Anti-Aging Center and Vitality Surgical Center. So you're owning two clinics while you're also running aesthetic consulting and training. So you're doing all this training across the country, different injectors coming in to see you, you're hosting events. Question number one for the audience, how in the hell do you do it all? We have to know.
Everybody says I'm crazy. So first of all, that's, you know, I run on a lot of G, a little ADD doesn't hurt in that kind of scenario. But it all works well together, you know, and I have amazing support from my staff, and I couldn't do it without them. And, you know, my office managers had to help me set all this up today or I wouldn't be sitting here. So it's been really good. And I enjoy what I do. I think that's the biggest thing is I love people. I love my job. So I just like to stay busy.
When I want to dig into like your background and things, what I want to tell the audience as they listen to you today is one of the things I love about Grace is that she has an incredible presence. She's a humble person, very sweet and endearing, knows what she wants. Don't get me wrong. She's not a pushover. But I think people who know you would say that you are ethical, you're by the book, you invest in other people. And I think in our industry right now is this the boom that we're encouraging, you know, all of us to be on social media and do TikToks and, you know, be out there, be infamous or be famous, be celebrities. I feel like you've really stuck to what you know and you've really built this medical version of yourself where you're a legitimate provider expert. You know, you're a person who you go to learn about how to be a better injector, be a better provider. You're not worried about, you know, TikTok and dancing on Instagram. And I feel like your perspective of this is much different. You know, it's much more having been a tried and true battle tested 20 plus year veteran of the industry. I think your perspective today is so unique because we've had a lot of influencers on the show who are talking about their social media channels and how to get famous. I feel like you're going to give us today the details about how to do this thing the right way for the long term. And so I can't wait to dig into that with you today.
That's exciting. Social media has been an interesting development in this, you know, industry. When I started out, there was nothing. And I'm an antique in this industry. I'm one of the beginners, and I'm a beginner with social media. And one, I don't have time. I found last year I was up at 3 in the morning trying to do my social media. It's very time consuming, and I don't want that time to take away from the other things I'm doing. So I spend a lot of my time, you know, trying to develop training materials, working, I mean, my patients and my practice comes first, and then my trainees, the people I train, I'm always available to them. I always tell them after I've trained them, I feel like they kind of own me. I mean, I kind of, you know, a little bit, I'm like their mother. And so I am always accessible to them as well. And I won't let social media make me compromise the quality of care that I give those people.
Well, I think that's disruptive right now for sure. Our show focuses on being disruptive. And I think in the current trend in aesthetics, that is disruptive because people are married to their Instagram. If they don't get 5 stories out per day, get their post out, look at their SEO and their, you know, clicks and these, you know, this and that and the other, they're in sheer panic about, I'm going to lose followers. What am I going to do? And I think that there is more than one way to skin a cat. And I think your way is certainly based on your resume and what you've been able to do in your antique road here. You've done a lot. So I think that your way is certainly working for you. But let's go back to the very beginning of your sort of journey here. How'd you end up in aesthetics? Where'd you come from in medicine to end up here? Because, you know, no one comes into aesthetics from the get-go. Give us your journey.
I started out when I graduated. I graduated from Bowen Gray University, Wake Forest. And then my first job was in general surgery. And I did that for about a year and a half. I was the first PA for 5 surgeons, which was an interesting job to say the least. Then I went and worked in the ER, worked there for 5 years. And then the hospital changed the staffing company. Had they not, I'd probably still be stuck in the ER. So that's one of those things, hindsight's 2020, you understand why things happen. And at that point, I went into internal medicine and women's health. And I started to realize with women's health that you have to look good on the outside, feel good on the inside, really to have that complete sense of well-being, which is actually our mission statement for Vitality. And I wanted to expand it. This was a women's only clinic, and I felt like men were, you know, needing it too. And so it started out, I remember the days where all we had was collagen and sclerotherapy and laser hair removal, you know, but I felt like we needed to really expand into the preventive type medicine, which is something I do, some integrative medicine, still a little primary care, and then just helping that whole person develop. And so that's kind of where it started for me and started this company. I left where I was working because I wanted to expand it into men and other people and do more things in 2006.
And so Vitality was opened in 2006-ish, 2007. So give us the lessons that you learned in deciding that you're going to go from someone else's clinic into building your own clinic. That's a whole different rodeo.
Yeah, I had, you know, sometimes I tell people, I just jumped and I went in, you know, full steam ahead. I wasn't going to dip my toe in and went in, bought an expensive platform laser, rented 4,800 square feet, hired people and hung my shingle out. And, I figured that God would take care of me somehow. And we never had a $0 day from the day we opened. And when COVID shutdown happened, I told my few little staff stragglers, we came in 4 hours a day to answer the phone, do things. I said, we've never had a $0 day in all these years. We're not going to start now. So if one of y'all even has to buy something, you're going to buy something. And we made it through COVID with not a $0 day.
COVID taught us a lot about how to run businesses and a lot of lessons learned from a lot of people there. But so you have that clinic in 2006, and then you have the second clinic opening in what year?
In the surgical clinic in 2016, I've been training since around probably 2009 and then became an Allergan trainer, I want to say 2012, and incorporated that same year my aesthetic consulting and training.
It's remarkable. I think about people ask me all often, you know, nurses who own businesses and PAs who own businesses, like how could they own it? It's not a physician. For you as a non-physician owner, I'm always curious about this. Do you think it's harder for you, more difficult in the industry? What's the difference in the challenges that you're facing versus if you were, you know, MD Dr. Grace McLaren opening it instead?
I think that we're scrutinized a little bit harder. We don't have the margin for error that MDs do, I think. I think when you have a bad RN out or a bad PA, then that kind of one bad apple does spoil the bunch. When it's an MD, they don't look at it quite the same way. And I think as time's progressed and you get insurance reimbursements so much lower and so many doctors trying to add something cash pay in, this industry is becoming so competitive. And I think that, you know, they really watch and, you know, there's been a push to try to, you know, in some states to try to get to where only physicians can do these procedures or under the, you know, a physician in the facility at the time for you to be able to do them. But yet we're the ones that are out there training them how to do it.
Yeah, it's a very contentious topic for sure. But you are now officially a doctor of medical sciences. I think it's a leadership focus. So you decided during COVID to go back and get a doctorate. Only you would do this, Grace. So walk us through what the heck you were thinking to go back and get a doctorate.
was a COVID crazy day. I was sitting at home watching Schitt's Creek, and I went, holy, you know what? I said, I need a plan B, because, you know, this was something that I saw as a huge change in our world that, and is medicine everywhere, and it's continuing. And I thought, you know, what if, you know, all heck breaks loose and I can't practice anymore. You know, people aren't spending the money for aesthetics. It was such an unknown time. So I thought, you know, I love the business end of it. I love the administration end and consulting and helping people grow business. And, you know, I have a very entrepreneurial mind. I'm always wanting to start businesses and have been that way since I was a child. And so I started looking around and it looked like a good option for me. So at 57 years old, I decided to go back to college.
Well, I did it at 27. It was terrible. So I can't imagine at 57 it's any more fun. It's a long road. So kudos to you for getting that. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the backup plan, because we've interviewed lots of RNs on our show. And obviously I have a lot of RNs on our system with aesthetic record. And I'm a big advocate of that as well. Like, you've got to become prescriptive. You have got to become a nurse practitioner, because if you don't, to your point, these states that are now saying if you're not an advanced practice nurse or a PA or an MD or DO, you cannot practice, you're going to be left out in the cold. And I feel like that's coming down the pipeline in many states. We're already seeing it in lots of states now, and other states who have it now on the docket, you know, for legislation coming up in 2022. It's going to be reality very soon. I think people are scared to go back to school, to your point. You know, it's a lot to take in. But, you know, guys who are listening, Grace did it with multiple businesses, a busy clinic, speaking for Allergan, speaking at conferences, and she still made it work. So I think if you want to do it bad enough, you'll find a way. And I think you're going to have people move to that in that direction, or they're going to get left out with the RN thing. It's just going to be a bad thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's hard. And I mean, there's so many amazing RN injectors out there, but I do think that it's going to become more difficult, especially for them to own their own practices. You know, I think, you know, maybe practicing within a clinic with an on site, that will continue. But I think that there is a big push to try to limit more and more what they can. I don't know if that comes from somewhat of a greed issue, because I, you know, there's some very, very skilled RNs out there. And, but yeah, it's going to be a big change. So I certainly, you know, encourage anybody who's looking to advance their career to move forward, you know, and you can do it. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I think to your point, it has nothing to do with skill set. I think it's nothing to do with skill at all. I think it's about greed. But we always laugh about here in our business that if we ever solve the opioid crisis, they'll come for aesthetics next. Like, we'll be the next focus of the medical boards, because the opioid crisis, luckily, is getting everyone kind of, they're all worried about, you know, drug and painkillers and pain addiction and things. But if that ever gets resolved, I think we're next on the hot seat, because people see a lot of money in our industry. They see a lot of cash, to your point before with physicians, it's a cash pay industry. And so I think that we are going to be a hot ticket on a lot of legislative dockets in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I see, you know, one of the big things is for PAs and nurse practitioners to have full practice authority rights. And that's on the docket in a lot of states. But then there are a lot of states that are very resistant to that, you know, and how that happens, how it transpires, you know. But, you know, for people that have been doing something for well over 20 years that have not had any problems, you know, it's hard to have to pay somebody every month. But I do, you know.
You got to pay the piper, as they say. Which is, I agree, unfortunate. But let's, thinking about that from an entrepreneur standpoint and owning businesses, you know, you're obviously having to hire, retain staff, maintain these clinics, as well as, you know, your consulting company. People have to go out and train on your behalf. People often ask me, the number one question I get asked is about HR. How do you figure out who to hire, how to pay them? What is your best advice for us thinking about staffing that we should be taking with us in this industry?
It truly is the hardest part of the job. That is, you know, what stresses me out the most. I tell everybody it's the bane of my existence. When I was in school, one of the biggest projects I did was hiring and onboarding for retention. And so we put people in our, and we very little turnover. I mean, my estheticians have been with me since day one, my office manager the first year. I find front office staff is a little bit more fickle and will turn over quicker, but we put people through a fairly rigorous interviewing process. We do DISC testing on everybody. We have profiles for every job position in the office, so you know the right personality. I mean, you don't want to hire an introverted, quiet person to be your front desk person, you know, but they may be good in the back office because they pay more attention to detail. And so we have all of that. We do emotional intelligence testing. And there's some cutoffs on that. You know, if somebody really doesn't score 7 or higher, you know, I think that they probably aren't fit for our industry, for our business. And then we do a lot of motivational interviewing. They start out with, you know, their immediate manager and we peer. Then they interview with our office manager and a manager, and then they come back and interview with me or my business partner or all of us. And then we give them a trial run.
Well, you said DISC, and I'm going to let you know, Grace, we just had our big meeting nationally for AR, and we did DISC. So I let it. I've been doing DISC for, you know, I discussed this early on with Aesthetic Next. I've been doing DISC for a long time. I love the DISC. I'm a high D and a C, so I'm kind of a wacko here. But, you know, we love the DISC here. I think our staff, even taking it, we learn about each other, about our approach, how we talk about things with one another, how we interact, how we have conflict and get through our conflict. It was an eye-opening experience for our team, and we're a team of 20 people who, you know, work together every day, all day, and we learned so much that we should have probably already known, frankly, but we didn't. And so I think what you just mentioned about doing these assessments, you know, a battery of different things to learn about your employees, we believe that here as well, that culture is something that you have to have. It has to jive or it just doesn't work. And so, you know, you're probably spending a lot of time on that and probably a lot of money as well, doing all the initial assessments and reviews and things. What is your typical timeline for that? You know, is that like a month to hire somebody? Is it like a couple of weeks? What's the time, you know, time zone there?
Generally about a month before we make a final decision. You know, we really examine everybody and try to narrow it down to like 3 and really put them through the rigors. And, you know, when they get to me interviewing, it's not, you know, well, tell me about yourself. It's like giving situations and how are you going to handle this and really seeing how they respond under pressure. And so it's a kind of high pressure interview, not ugly, but you know, we put them on the spot to see how they're going to react. And to your point too, in our office amongst our own staff, we've done multiple retreats where I've had Tom Ziegler and their lead speaker, Howard Partridge, out to do a lot of training. We do a lot of DISC training because, you know, as we say that, you know, I can't change anybody else, but if I know what their personality is, I can change my approach. And if you understand the different personalities, I can try to change the way I speak to that person.
When I think about you as a trainer right now, like with, you know, with your company, people want to train on aesthetics all the time, injecting, right? How do I do a tear trough? How do I do a jaw? How do I do Sculptra? Whatever the things are. No one ever says, hey, Grace, how do I run a business? I mean, for you, they probably do because you're offering these services, but no one ever comes to me and says, you know, gosh, do you have any CMEs on how to run a business? They want to know about injecting and about, you know, adverse event management. And I think to myself, the provider part of this is a huge piece of our industry. Don't get me wrong. It's a massive part of the industry. But running a successful business, hiring, firing, recruiting, retaining, performing, being compliant with the law, like all these things are massive chunks of the business, you know, these big rocks that no one's really actively going out there besides these consultants who are selling, you know, sometimes snake oil. They're not doing what you're saying. They're not offering this, like, the keys to the kingdom of how to hire and retain good staff. So are you finding that in your own experiences? Are people coming to you asking for that? Tell us how to find you to get this, you know, do you offer these services? Clue us in.
I do offer these services. And we offer, I mean, just team building where we can come in and just, you know, do DISC in the morning. We can do, you know, building better relationships, all different kinds of things like that. But I have found that people don't usually ask about how to run a business till they're 6 months to a year into their business. Everybody goes and they get a training and they think that now they're ready to. I've even had people come in for their first training and they've already opened their business, but they're not even trained yet, you know, which to me scares me a little bit because I think people need to work under somebody for a while to really hone their skills. But it's not until they get into it and they're just like, holy crap, I don't know about any of this. What's the standard operating procedure? I helped somebody doing consulting and I asked her first question, says, why are you in business? Why did you open up? You know, and it's like, you know, you have to understand the why behind what you're doing, you know, and, you know, it's not just because you think it's going to be easier, because anybody that thinks owning their own business is easy money and a lot of money, it isn't. Trust me. And, you know, early days if somebody went without a paycheck, it was me.
Yeah, that's what COVID. I'm like, you guys who don't own the business don't know the pressure of us trying to make payroll and figure out, can we afford to keep people on? Or, you know, it's like there is no unemployment when you own a business. Like you're out on your own island. And then at the top, it gets lonely. You know, people say that, but it's true. When you're an entrepreneur, you can't talk about things with your employees. You can't discuss the hardships that you're facing or, you know, can you make payroll this week? Or, you know, the things as a new business owner for sure that you go through are sometimes tragic. I mean, the depression and suicide rate amongst CEOs is so much higher than the regular population because it is a very hard place to be. And you know this, I'm sure, firsthand. And we don't discuss it. We need like a CEO outreach group to help all of us get through our issues because it is a hard road. And I think to your point, getting here to get rich, this is not the path. Go play the lottery. It's probably a little bit easier to win there than it is to win, you know, as a business owner. But within your own training organization, what made you start that? You know, you just said somebody came to you who has never been trained and they're opening a business. I know that there are so many gaps in the industry. What made you think to yourself, I'm going to open up a training school and really tackle these problems?
Well, I think part of it was what I was missing. Well, I took trainings and there was just big gaps and I was having to look everywhere for how to fill in the blanks, so to speak. And my business partner, who I love dearly, the business end is not his favorite thing. So one day just happened to pop up on my computer a thing about Ziglar. And I grew up, my mother loved Zig Ziglar, and I grew up listening to him all the time. And I thought, okay, well, we'll go there. And I'm thinking, I don't need it because I'm doing so much business stuff and everything, but he needs it. So I went with him, and we went, and it changed that Ziglar boot camp changed my whole life as far as the way I looked at business. And that's where my interest came there. And then I really just started soaking in everything I really could. And I try to incorporate with all of the trainings that I do, some of the business, like we always go through the consult and personality and stuff, disc stuff, just, you know, very not in depth, but just so people have some understanding of it, because it's such an important part of being successful, even if you're working for somebody else. And so that's where my passion came for it. And as we grew and people started asking me, I realized that's just an area that's really missing, is somebody who's in the trenches, who's doing it, who's been there, who's learned from trial and error. And trust me, there's been lots of error to help. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that are consultants that just are interested, but they're business people. They're not providers. And I am a business owner provider.
That's, I think, the big part that makes you so unique, though, because you and I work together on a project, for those who are listening, for Renuva, which is a fat injectable product that's remarkable, but whole different podcast on that. But your ability to bring together all the anatomy, all the product information, the business aspect of it, you brought it all together into one incredible, by the way, guys, you should see this book that Grace put together, but this one book that was for their entire company to sort of learn and develop within the industry. But you bring it all together. I think that's a part that people miss when they go to these training schools, is I learned a lot about injecting and I feel like a great injector, but I know nothing about the business. Like, what am I going to do when I go home? Am I going to sell one syringe? Am I going to sell full face correction? Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Or they go to a consultant, learn about their SEO, their business analytics, their profit margin, but they're like, yeah, but I got to inject something. What am I going to buy? What am I going to inject? And no one's really bringing it all together into one big, you know, sort of conglomerate. And I think you're doing it beautifully. Having watched it firsthand, I think you've got this part of the business, you know, this part of the industry nailed down. I think people don't know what you offer, I think. And I think hopefully with this podcast, they're going to all hear to go to Grace's website right now and sign up, because she's going to change your life, just like they changed yours at the Zig Ziglar conference. But walk us through within, you know, ACT, I call it ACT for short, guys, Aesthetic Consulting and Training, what you offer.
We do one-on-one and then small group. I usually, when I'm doing a small group training, it's never more than 3 or 4 people in it, because I want to have the time to spend hands-on with everybody. So it's about half didactic, half hands-on if we're doing an injectable training. I also teach for threads, PDO and PLLA threads. I do PRP training, even with what's called Privy Shot, which is platelet-rich intravaginal injection. I do bioidentical hormone replacement. We're helping people set up infusion centers, weight loss programs. We created our own weight loss program, or I did, when I opened up, and it's been very, very successful. And so we do all of that. My estheticians, I have a few that train, you know, just on certain modalities, microneedling or dermaplaning. And then we do some training for some laser companies as well.
So guys, all the things. But what you just mentioned, I want to hone in on that, because you mentioned a lot of like functional wellness things. And I believe with my whole entire heart that our industry is going to be leapfrogged, if it's not already, by wellness, the wellness and functional medicine industry. I just saw Sheena Bay post on Instagram a few days ago that it's about regenerative medicine, right? Like, forget filler. Filler's dead. We can't lift. Like, regenerate the collagen, regenerate the face. But you're focusing on that already and have been for many, many years. What are your thoughts on that? Should clinics start looking towards functional, toward wellness, and you know, embrace that along with all the aesthetic and medicine type procedures?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's where medicine's going. I think, you know, with managed healthcare, people don't have the insurance coverage to just treat disease anymore. People need to prevent disease, and people are more educated, more astute about their health, and they want to take a role where they are healthier inside. And when you're healthier inside, that radiates outside. And I think even when we look at injectables, I think we're going to see a shift more into regenerative, biostimulatory, stem cell type growth factor treatments that may take over some of the current injectables that we have, or that are incorporated into some of the things that we have now. I mean, I off-label will blend PRP with filler all the time, because then I get that regenerative and the instant fill with it as well. And so I think we're going to see a lot of things like that come.
And from a business aspect, do you find it easy to merge those things together with, like, you know, going into practice that's not like yours, right? They're not set up for this yet. They're just purely injectables, for instance. How easy is it for an owner to start transitioning over and training their staff and really bringing this whole wellness and functional thing to the forefront?
I think it's pretty easy, because it's, you know, it's low equipment. It's low cost to get into it. You just have to get trained and understand it. You have to have an interest in it. But people are hungry for it. And a lot of people, you know, I incorporate traditional medicine with integrative medicine and functional medicine, not just completely out there holistic everything, that you can treat everything with a supplement. But I do believe that we can prevent a lot. And bioidentical hormone replacement, I mean, I think when done correctly, there were a lot of people that weren't doing it correctly, but when done correctly, is very safe. And you know, may even be protective. You know, I don't think there'll ever be a study on that, but, you know, in my experience, just anecdotal from Grace, you know, I do see people doing much better who use them.
Yeah, I've done those kinds of things for years. You know, I've got lots of friends on hormones, and, you know, all of us who work all the time and who don't sleep, who don't eat, who have, like, our lives are a disheveled, chaotic mess. You need some help, right? You need things like IVs, and you need hormones and different things to keep it all together. I feel like as our society becomes more and more frazzled as humans, I think coming back from COVID, we all, like, tried to work 10 times as much to make up for the year that we couldn't work, you know, and do all the things, that we're all kind of crazy right now. And now it's coming back again, so we're going to be crazy again. So I'm seeing that this is the future of medicine. At least I hope it is, because I think, to your point, patients need that part of it. And if you look at a puzzle piece, you know, if we're all a puzzle, that's the missing piece. It's like, I can look beautiful on the outside, but if I'm not well, I don't have, you know, good wellness internally, I think you age so much faster, you lose your collagen so much faster, like, all these things start to manifest on your face. And it's like, if I want to spend money on my face, I should fix my body too, right? It's all working together. So I think that, to your point, it should be an easy transition, but I think patients, from a, you know, how many things you're going to buy in a particular visit, or how many things you want to, you know, start working on as far as procedures and services, this is an immediate add-on. Like, it should be a not even a second thought to start bringing this into your practice.
Absolutely. I mean, starting even with just weight management and hormone in a good supplement line, that's a really good place to start for people. And, you know, I see so many people, as you say, we're all so stressed and frazzled, you know, and burning the candle at both ends. And that does, over time, you know, wreak havoc on our body.
So I think, you know, when we look at aesthetic next, even, and I go back to sort of, you know, what is that, 3 months ago, 4 months ago in September, it seems like a year ago, you did a talk about consultations. And I think about functional and aesthetics together, the consultation has to be the place where you bring it all together. And you are like the gifted, I don't know, you're like a monk in a monastery when it comes to consultations. You have, like, the secrets to that. So give us some ideas on, even from the consultation perspective, how you bring all this together for your patients when you have so many things to offer them in your clinic.
You know, whenever I do a consultation, certainly because we are a health clinic, we have a good CIQ that not only addresses cosmetic things, but may ask them questions about, you know, do you sleep well? Do you, you know, are you fatigued? You know, do you feel like you have a hard time losing weight? That's going to, you know, give me that segue into asking them questions and talking about other aspects of our business. And I think that all of these things cross over. And so, you know, so many people come in for the weight loss program, but they're struggling to lose weight. So we'll do testing on them and they have adrenal fatigue and Hashimoto's thyroiditis and other things, and their hormones are all out of whack, and we get that balanced. Then all of a sudden they start losing weight. Then as they start losing weight, now they want to look better. And then they come in and they're, you know, getting filler and they're, you know, doing microneedling and things like that. So you're going to get a lot of crossover and one feeds the other. So whether they start as a, as an integrative medicine patient, most of them end up aesthetic patients, and most of my aesthetic patients end up integrative medicine patients.
Yeah, it's like a nice little exchange there, I'm sure, back and forth. And so if you think about your business, so you have a surgical center as well, how does that fit into all this? Are you working in the surgery center also and doing things with surgical medicine, you know, surgical procedures, or is it just like you're owning that and it's a, you know, you're somewhere different, doing something totally different all day long? How does that work for you?
So the surgical center started in 2016. Dr. McCoy Moretz, who was a well-known Beverly Hills surgeon, is originally from this area, and his brother owns our facility that we're in, and they're like family to me. And I met him in passing, and I'd had a business group that come to me saying, if you can get a surgeon, we'll place a Vaser or lipo in your office and you just pay by the case. You don't have to buy it. So I jokingly said to him, oh, I need you to come work for me. I didn't know where he lived. I thought he lived in Atlanta. Didn't know anything about him. And 4 days later, he called me and he wanted to come out, and he was like, are you serious? So at that point we talked, he and I hit it off, best business partners. I mean, we were in business 6 years together, never had a disagreement, anything. He was here 10 days a month and doing surgery, and it just started growing and growing. And then we unexpectedly lost him in March, but a surgeon, a wonderful surgeon in Charlotte, stepped up to help me. But he comes in 3 or 4 days a month for consults, and then he does surgery on the weekends.
What is the challenge in all of that? Because I'm curious, like, does staff work in all three locations for you? Do you share headcount? How does that work?
We work at the surgery center. We added on a surgical center to our facility. So we, that is in the same, so that helps because I can be there, and I have wonderful staff that help me, you know, run. I have a surgical coordinator, surgical tech that are literally my right arm in that, and they are just, she's amazing and gets everything done. She and I have the same personality type, so yeah, she's probably a little higher even than I am. She keeps me in line. And then my training facility is we're an old 1800s mill that's been restored, is in the upstairs part of that. So I'm not so spread out that I can't be everywhere, but I am very present in all the businesses. And I think that I tend to be the one that brings in the new treatments and things like that. I have to stay current. I see so many practices that start and then they never change from when they first started, and you'll die, you know. So it's a constant, you have to keep up, constant work, constant reading, constant going to conferences, talking to people, researching, social media, you know, good, bad, ugly. But you have to do it all the time and enjoy doing it, I think.
When you just came back, we were discussing this before we started, from the Allergan AMI training for infraorbital hollow. So a new, you know, to keep it short, guys, tear trough indication coming out. I know we probably can't say that, but that's what it is. So that, I'm sure, is a crazy experience because we've been waiting for this indication in our industry for how many years? Probably 20 plus years. I've been doing it forever. That's brand new and exciting. You'll be leading the training for that, I'm sure, across the country. How was that whole experience of, like, it's finally coming to the forefront? We're going to now be out training on this indication, which is a little scary for me. What are your thoughts on that? Because sometimes new isn't always good. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. So give us your thoughts.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, I think it's an area that needs to talk correctly. To quote Arthur Swift, he always says the easiest place, you know, the tear trough's the easiest place to inject poorly. And it is. And so I think that Allergan's doing a really amazing job. The way they're rolling this out with a select few, there were 76 trainers there, physicians, this is the first training that I've been to where they had physicians and PAs, nurse practitioners, and RNs all together. And there were 76 of us total that are being trained to help roll this out and then train other trainers and then train people. And then the people that they're going to train are going to have had a certain amount of experience, maintain a certain amount of experience, even qualify for a training. You know, and the focus still is, you know, mid-face correction. That's going to take care of it for a lot of people. But then if there's anything left, choosing the correct product, which I think Volbella is a wonderful product. And I was just reading last night some people arguing on social media about, you know, sit back with the popcorn, we're going to watch, this is going to be, you know, just Hylenex City and everything. And, you know, Volbella is a great filler, and it dissolves very easily. I've been using Vicross since it first came out, and I love it, and I've never had a problem with it. In fact, the last two patients sent to me to handle for, like, delayed onset nodules that were really significant were with a competing product. It wasn't Vicross. It happens with all of them, but when you have one product that's used more than another, you're going to see more complications with that one. So, you know, if it's used three times more than X, you're going to have three times more people with a complication. But I think people need to just know their anatomy, know their plane, know their techniques, and don't overdo it. And, you know, make sure you're correcting mid-face first before you jump into tear troughs. I mean, it's a place that people are sent to me with a complication to dissolve. It's always the tear trough.
Well, and I ask you that because I think about all the indications coming, right? Or I think Galderma has the same one coming soon. We have a new Sculpture indication. We have, you know, Renuva coming out. We have, you know, all different products. We have, you know, Hyperelute RDS now. I feel like in our industry, we are going so fast with indications, with new areas, even new complications. Like, for instance, when we had the whole Vicross thing, that's a whole new complication, right? Who knew about this thing that was going to happen, these delayed onset nodules? And the manufacturers can't train on that, right? They're so limited in what they can say. They can't discuss adverse events. And so I think it really depends on people like you, you know, people who are building these schools, these institutions, to really come out and say, we need to train you. Like, it's an imperative for the patient, for the industry, that we train you on, in this case, you know, tear troughs, jaw, temple, whatever it is, because no one else is going to do it. And if you just try to figure it out on your own on YouTube, good luck, not a great choice, right? Even online virtual schools, it's hard to replace, like, you with a person in the room watching them inject, you know, doing half the face and the whole thing. But I feel like the industry is moving at a rate that we can't keep up. We don't have enough great trainers who have these, you know, outside groups like yours, not the manufacturers, to get the entire industry trained and caught up. I just feel like we are on a fast moving train to adverse event land if we don't pull the reins back a little bit. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but.
Absolutely, because I think so many people will watch a YouTube video and think that they know how to do something, but I think education, experience, and getting the proper education is going to help. And I think people learning and not trying to just figure it out on their own. And I think for outcomes as well, aesthetic outcomes, there's nothing worse than being one area corrected and not another, you know, because then I think it draws the attention not to the corrected area. It really makes the uncorrected area like a just blaring, you know, neon sign. You, that's right where your eye goes to is what's not corrected. And so I think people having and learning how to take a global approach to facial correction is just crucial in this market. People need to really take training and learn. And that's why we break things down. I mean, we're doing an expert visiting series. I like to get different perspectives. I like my staff to get different perspectives. And I want to bring that kind of training to North Carolina, where some of the people who are smaller businesses and can't leave, they can't afford to go to a bigger conference, or you can't, you know, be out of commission that long.
Well, I just wrote a talk. I'm talking at AMSPA in a few weeks, and I did this whole thing about, you know, if you're going to be high margin, low volume, or low margin, high volume. And I think about these advanced areas. You know, if you're high margin, you know, want to make a lot of money but see very few patients, what Grace is saying is, it's non-negotiable. You have to train your providers on everything. If I'm going to come to you and spend 3 hours in an appointment in the chair, I want to get my laser done, my Sculpture, my filler, my hormones, my this, my that, my everything. In order for us to fish deep in our pond with a single patient and maximize the value long-term for that patient, we have to have advanced providers who can do advanced things, because you can only do so much toxin and so many lip filler. You know, at some point they can't keep coming back for that. You've got to layer in more things, more advanced things, more intricate, you know, corrections and services. So I feel like as a business owner, if you're not investing in your people going to places, you know, like with a Grace or with, you know, these other schools to learn advanced things, you're missing the boat. It's going to hinder your ability as a business to grow and develop your current patient base. That could be my sideways view of it, but I feel like we're going to have to do more because, again, you can only do toxin so many times a year. You know, it's just not going to be enough long term.
I would rather take the time with one patient, do total correction, talk to them about their health, and see 5 or 6 patients a day that are really good patients, and instead of seeing 30.
Well, I'm thinking about those 30 patients a day, you're having to work 30 times as hard, changing rooms, paperwork, staff, checkout, you know, right now, COVID protocol, sanitation. It's like your staff gets run absolutely ragged if you're turning rooms that many times all day long versus, I'm sure in your case, you know, they're probably in the room with you for quite some time. They're doing lots of different things. You're working really hard, no doubt, but your front desk person, you know, it's a different vibe when the people aren't running around with their hair on fire the whole day. So I think there's a lot to be learned from, you know, thinking about scaling your patient procedures, not scaling your practice and numbers of patients. Just a different mentality.
Absolutely. I always want my patients to feel like when they come in that I've got all the time in the world for them. And, you know, if something happens and, you know, they need all the time in the world, I'm going to take all the time in the world. I might have to step out and tell my front staff to call my next few patients and tell them I'm running behind. But I think that we need to spend the time with our patients, and we do spend the time with our patients, and we develop. This is an industry where you develop relationships. This is not a need business. This is a want business, and they're choosing you. And I respect that, and I'm humbled by that, that they would choose me and entrust me with their face, you know? So I want to respect them and give them what they need. And I think that that's what everybody needs to do. And I see some places open up that I just call like fast food Botox or whatever. And, you know, they're just running people in and out every 15 minutes. And, you know, that's just not good. It's not safe.
Yeah. It's not your vibe. And I think long-term for any practice, it's not going to be because you got to do a lot of toxin to be profitable enough to stay open. It's just not a profitable product. It's a loss leader to get them in the front door. You know, it's like, I feel like it's like the Groupon of aesthetics. It's just what you have to do to get them in the door. But then you need to trade them up into filler or, you know, to your point, full face correction, regenerative Sculptra, you know, products. You got to do more. But to that point, Grace, I want to make sure I touch on this before we let go today. You are a trainer for Allergan and have been for quite some time. Lots of our audience want to know about how to become a trainer, how to get involved in things like that, how to really boost their career from being an in-practice injector to now more of a KOL type thought leader. What would you give them as advice or the pathway to become you at some point?
Put your time and energy into perfecting your skills and getting a good portfolio of before and after pictures and, you know, establishing relationships with not only your patients, but with your vendors and showing them that you are bought in. And, you know, I think there are people who are constantly trying the newest and greatest, all the flavor of the week, and keep everything on the shelf. And, you know, I think we all, and I'm not saying you align with one company, but pick your tools that work. You don't need to have 20 tools, you know, pick your best 5 and stick with those, you know, and that's going to give you better results. You're going to have consistency. You're going to develop those relationships. And I think the company see you then as a more loyal person and someone understands their product. They feel comfortable using to go speak to their product, not somebody that's just jumping from this one this week to the popular one the next week to the next week. And you'll go through some hills and valleys with them. You know, some are winners, some are losers. But, you know, I think just stick to it and you know, just do your best and you'll get there.
Yeah, you've got to be the expert to be teaching people as the expert. I feel like that's what we miss a lot is even for Aesthetic Next, they all want to be faculty, right? Everyone wants to be on stage at Aesthetic Next and be faculty. And I'm thinking, okay, well, great. Let's talk about your skill set. You know, what do you bring to the table? What's your, you know, your sort of practice responsibilities and things, practice scope? I've been injecting for 2 years. I'm like, well, you're probably not going to be on my stage at year 2, maybe at year 10. You know, I'm shocked at people's gumption. Or they're, I don't know if they overshoot the runway on their skill set or they think that they're better than they are, but they come to me and they're very novice and they are ready to be the expert, the KOL, you know, the person who you come to for advice and who's on stage telling everyone else how to build their practices. And it makes me a nervous wreck because some patient somewhere also believes that too, right? They believe the person's an expert and then the adverse event happens. They're like, who do I call? Julie Kaplan, Grace McClellan, you know, Connie Brennan, call somebody who knows what to do, who's been here for a long time. And I think that there's just a misunderstanding in our industry that you still got to earn your stripes here. It still takes years and patience and cases and load to get to where you are. It's not an overnight success. No one's famous overnight, right? No one's great overnight. But I'm sure you've done a lot of work, a lot of training that you've invested in yourself. You've probably flown places and, you know, worked with all these different experts and things to become who you are today. So there's work to be had there, no doubt about it.
Yeah, people, I had somebody in a training the other day ask me, so how long did it take you till you felt completely comfortable? And I told them I'd let them know when I got there. You know, I don't think we ever get to that point. And if you do, I think then you're dangerous. You know, that might be the time to quit. If you think you don't need training, if you think you know everything, then you really probably need to get out of the industry, because I learn from everybody, even beginners. Sometimes I learn, they'll do something not even realizing they do it. And I'm like, wow, that worked, you know. Or sometimes we learn even from experts things that we don't want to do. And those are all important lessons to learn. And so I think maintaining training, I go in and I see people and I always ask them, one of the first questions I ask is, what trainings have you been to? And I've had people that said, I had a 4-hour, you know, Allergan Galderma training 6 years ago, and that's all they've had, you know, and they're injecting. And it's just, to me, it's shocking that they don't want more training than that. And, you know, cause I would go to somewhere every week if I could, you know, but I just think you've got to get good training, and there's so many quality trainers out there. There's some that aren't such good quality, and you know, I think you need to really research who you're having train you, because there are plenty of people that I've trained that they get one training and then they're hanging out their shingle that they are a trainer and they're not.
Oh, Grace, we could go on for that for hours and hours. I think people who have to still inject on a template with a V1, V2, V3 or a code or whatever else they have to do to get it to work, they are not ready to be a trainer. If you can't look at a face and freehand it, you're not ready to call yourself Picasso. Like, I will hang that shingle for you right there. I know you feel the same way, but I think we have a paint-by-numbers approach in our industry that's been, I don't know, permeating the place for 10, 15 years, that we got to grow out of that, guys. We got to get off the paint-by-numbers, you know, little kid color wagon approach and start doing things because they look good or because it's the right way to do it, not because someone said on a training once that I had to put the product right here, it's not going to work. That makes me crazy.
Yeah, it's not, these aren't templates. And that's one thing I tell people, this is not a templated treatment. Your Botox, fillers, anything, everybody is individualized. And, you know, you're going to inject A different than B than C and to get the best outcome. And if you try to just put that template on a face, you're going to have the most horrible aesthetic outcomes. It just doesn't work.
Or it's not gender centric. It's not ethnicity centric. You know, it's all the same thing. It's all, you know, the white female face is what most of these things are built off of. And it's like, that's not the world anymore. Sorry, guys. The world's very diverse and different and unique. And yeah. So again, like I said, guys, that's a whole different podcast. I won't dive into that topic. But Grace, as we close up here, as a person who's been, you know, 20 plus years in this industry, have you survived it? Give us your best advice for just staying the course here, not getting caught up with all the shiny things and the social media things, and sticking to our guns and surviving in aesthetics.
I think that you have to, you know, prioritize. And again, like I said, I'm not somebody that needs attention. I don't need to be insta famous. You know, I know this industry has become almost like a celebrity type industry to some degree. You know, there's some I see and I'm like, oh my God, there's so-and-so, you know, but I don't need that. I want to do a good job. I want to help others do a good job. My success is watching others succeed. That's when I'm most happy. So I'm happy to stand in the background and watch others do that. And if I've been part of that and I was a stepping stone for that, then that's my reward. And so I just want to do the best I can do and help others.
Yeah, I like that, investing in others. I feel like when you invest in others, it helps you. I don't know if it's karma, if it's the universe, but it boosts you as well. So, and I would tell you guys, just from interacting with Grace in the past couple of years, you're very consistent. You're the same person. You know, you're the same excitement, the same interest in what you're doing all the time. And I think that's a part of it as well. Every day here is not a good day in aesthetics. Some days are really great. Some days are really terrible. Is what you've done. You just kind of dug in your heels and you stayed the course. I think that's what's important. For anyone who's listening, is you just got to suck it up, buttercup, and go to work every day and pray that the next day is better than the day if it's not a good one. So that's technology too, Grace. That's in aesthetics. That's in technology. That's everywhere we go, right? That's just a way that the cookie crumbles for all of us. But we are so glad to have you here today. You've been a fantastic guest. Give us all the details about how to find you, where you're doing your trainings next. We know that you're in North Carolina, but how do you come to different people's practices? Give us the full rundown on how to get you to our practices.
You can follow my training site on Instagram. There's always information coming up, and that's aesthetic with an A, _ consulting, _ training. You can follow that on Facebook as well. My website is actaesthetics.com. We have a lot of things, changes going this year. Kevin Cease and I are working on a lot of things, an online platform. All of our courses are in process of being CME certified. So there's going to be a lot of stuff growing here. We're going to be exhibiting at AmSpa, and we'll be at Aesthetic Next at their next show. So look us up.
Yeah, we'll put all that in the information too, guys, on the actual podcast info, so you can get all of our information too. But yes, Kevin Cease, you guys have made some beautiful products, some beautiful retail products that you can purchase. I had these little almost like pocket cards with all the anatomy on them, and they're absolutely gorgeous. They are incredible, Grace. I like to look at them just because they're so pretty. Like, forget the anatomy. They're just so gorgeous. So you and Kevin have done an incredible job teaming up. So guys, when you go to her website, look at all the things that she has for sale too, because she's got some really cool, like, important, critical anatomy pieces that can be put on the wall in your practice, that can be, you know, pocket guides, some really cool stuff. So as you guys can tell, I'm a huge fan of Grace's. And for the record, Grace, I think everyone else is going to be a big fan of yours too when they see this and see you at AmSpa and Aesthetic Next and keep hearing from you, because you are, like I said right now, you're everywhere, sister. All the places. So you might not be trying to get famous, but you are famous. So that's the good news for you. It's working out either way. But we have had a great time with you in our season 2 opening podcast as our very first guest. And we look forward to seeing you, I think, in 2 weeks at AmSpa. And we'll see you again in September at Aesthetic Next. But Grace, any final last words for us before we sign off today?
I just want to thank you so much for inviting me. I'm just so humbled that you would ask me to do this. And it's been great fun. And I am one of your greatest fans. And I just really appreciate you. You've been a huge help to me and really helped boost my business. And I can't thank you enough. And I thank everybody else who supported me and who's out there. And I look forward to meeting others.
Well, guys, go give Grace's Instagram a follow and look her up. And thank you for the kind words. It's easy to help people who want to be helped and who are, you know, eager to do more and to do better. So thanks again for coming on today. And guys, we will see you next week with another episode of For the Record. But for now, that's all we've got. Thanks. Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.